Welcome back to the Open Update. This is Season 3, the first episode. And for Liberate Science, I'm Chris Hartgrink, and I'm joined by our co-host today.
Hi, I'm Saran.
In this new season, we'll be going on a bit of a different track from the first two seasons, and we'll be talking more about power dynamics in research, how it affects how research is done, but also how the conditions for research are created, and maybe also include some aspects that we don't talk about as much when we're trying to improve research. And there are many dimensions to power dynamics, and especially with our new co-host, Saran, that we have a great opportunity to bring some new topics to the table and to engage you in some new discussions. So it's also an open invitation for you to join in on those discussions. I want to ask you, when you hear power dynamics, what are some of the first things that come to mind for you?
I come from a perspective of thinking about things in terms of science reform. So when I think about problems with power dynamics, I think about the fact that reform science has the risk of bringing some of those with it. So when we think about science reform, we're talking about a movement that has come out of the traditional scientific community. And there is always a risk that it brings with it, that it inherits some of those problems with power dynamics, because the scientific research community is going to be, you know, the basis for the population in the science reform community. And so I'm always looking for ways to dissolve some of those power imbalances that may potentially be inherited.
So to tickle that a bit, do you think that in this reform movement, we have a 1% who is influencing where we're going?
I don't know if I say it quite so clearly. I think that the way that power is distributed in the science reform community is just different. We still have these problems potentially with hierarchies and with certain more, we'll say, elite or powerful members within that community. I think they have the potential to be the same kinds of people. And when I'm saying the same kinds of people, I'm meaning senior white males from wealthy institutions in the global north, for example. But I think reform has really switched things up when it comes to who has power in science. So before reform started becoming more impactful, people who had high H indexes and people who publish in high impact factor journals, they are the ones who had the power. But now people who have power in the science reform movement are potentially people who are really good at doing all of the open science things, people who have the resources to always publish as registered reports, to always be sharing their data because they don't have sensitive data. And so we just need to be thinking about how power is distributed, whether it's different or the same as the traditional system. We need to be interrogating that and questioning that at every point.
For the people who don't know you, where are you coming from? What stage of your career are you in?
The first thing I ever really did in research was metascientific. So my first research study ever, the first thing I ever published was a pair of replication studies. And that project started in early 2014. And at that point, I first heard about replication and reproducibility problems from a very quantitative perspective. So I have an undergraduate in psychology and quite a quantitative background there to come from. And so my perspective at that point was, yeah, replicate all the things. And I was really zealous. I was so excited thinking, oh my goodness, we can test out if there's truth, if this is true. And it was such a binary way of thinking. That's really softened over time. Indeed, it's become, although people who know me would say I'm really opinionated, and I can be, I've really become very nuanced when it comes to issues surrounding reform, about transparency. Reform looks so different to so many, to different people. There's so much variability in how people experience reform and how they can enact reform in their own research process. And so for me, I've really become a little more nuanced. I think pre-registration's great, but it has its problems. And I could say the same thing for any science reform initiative that you could ask me about. Where do I come from? I'm a mixed methodologist, so I don't have any particular marriage to one kind of methodology or approach or another. So I can see how science reform can be done differently depending on what kind of a methodological approach you use, how you analyze data or research material, what possibilities there are for sharing. And so I guess I have a somewhat balanced view with a lot of things, but I will also say that I'm fairly critical of the science reform movement. Although I consider myself a science reformer, I am also very cautious of drinking the Kool-Aid. So I want to talk about things and interrogate initiatives before just assuming that we should all adopt them and that they're great. And so I like questioning and pushing the boundaries of discussion about them. And that's why I'm really excited to be on the podcast, because I see an opportunity for doing that with input from listeners.
I keep remembering your dissertation, Charting the Constellations of the Open Science Movement. What struck me in that was how reflexive you are in what steps you take, what statements you can make, what is uncertain. And last season we had James Bright on the show, and he also very clearly said that the thing that sets researchers apart is not knowing things, but it's about them knowing what they're uncertain about and being able to not quantify, but at least qualify that. Yeah. And it's very interesting. I asked this question, where do you come from? And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to get a bit of backstory here. But in terms of, you come from Australia originally, you moved to the Netherlands, but this is also the beauty of communication, that it could go many ways. For this season, we're talking about these power dynamics, and I've said that many times already, so our listeners will remember this now. But we're trying to bring this into the discussion and have all of these different elements come in. I'm a white colonizer, European. I understand my personal dynamics and how my Dutch history plays into how the world has evolved. And I wonder, how is that for you with an Australian background, with a completely different kind of history?
Yeah, so I'm only, I guess I would say, a second generation Australian. My not so distant ancestors had committed, I believe it was grand larceny, in England.
What's grand larceny again?
Heaps of stealing. And arson as well. Setting fire to things from that kind of stock. And that's always been something that I thought was really funny, because my ancestors were sent over to Australia for infringements to the law. And I guess I always like to push the boundaries of what's acceptable. I feel that in myself, this I'm attributing to having convict ancestors, but really I think it's also just what I'm like. But pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable, not stealing so much or setting fire to stuff. Yeah, pushing the boundaries of what people think is acceptable. And I think when I first started learning about what you were doing, Chris, that really spoke to me on that level, pushing boundaries and saying, okay, what we think is okay, let's talk about that. Let's push those boundaries. And so I think that's something that sort of has stuck with me about my own heritage. But I think I feel quite humble. I was brought up speaking one language, which is in comparison to everyone in Europe who speaks at least two. And so I feel like I have quite a humble background. And though I don't know that necessarily makes me feel like more of an imposter as a result, but I certainly feel that. I feel very like I come from a very humble background. And as though I need to prove myself.
Thanks for sharing a bit about that. And I remember that we met in 2018, if I'm correct.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think this was also the time that it was the first presentation of the idea that is now in Research Equal.
I hadn't seen anything like what you were presenting that day before. It was such an avant-garde idea. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is someone that I've got to watch, like big watch this space kind of thing. And I just thought, this Chris guy, I really want to keep an eye on him, because this idea was just, listeners are going to know about the platform in general, this idea of modular publishing. At that point, it was only just a single idea on a handful of slides for me. And it's been actually incredible to see the journey that you've taken to make that into a reality. It's just incredible.
And this podcast has definitely been a part of that journey. One of the things about this season of the podcast that is really exciting me is to talk more about these power dynamics. Yeah. Because I remember one of the things that for me became clear in the past year or so through conversations with you and with other people is we often talk about this reform movement as if it is an escalator. We just level up. And what I hope with this season is to really talk more about these power dynamics and these power struggles that are taking place that highlight this isn't an escalator. Yeah. This is a continuous fight to make these changes that we want to see.
Yeah.
And then other people fighting to make either other changes, to undo the changes. And it's all very much a political arena.
Yeah.
And I'm very much looking forward to discussing that with you and to hear also from the listeners what that means in their environments, because we're also all in different political arenas and what maybe in the long run we can all do to organize in those places. I'm very excited to talk more about these things over this season and beyond.
Yeah.
But I think that also very much brings us already to the end stages of this first episode.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe just to tickle the ideas for the season and also to tickle the listeners, what would be three dimensions of power dynamics or power struggles that you're excited to talk about? I can start off with mine to give you a bit of time to think about this. I'm very excited to talk about the upcoming labor strikes in the UK from the union at the universities. I think that's very much related to reforming science. This is the political arena. Then one of the other things is I would love to also talk more about how precarious contracts relate to bad research. And then finally, I think I want to talk a bit about how we individualize some of these issues by talking about how people have to deal with their mental health and secure their own spaces when they're bearing the brunt of all of the things that are wrong. Just a few small topics for me, I guess.
Yeah, just little tiny ones.
Yeah, just breadcrumbs.
Blips on the radar. One thing that I'm really, really interested in is thinking about practices inside reform from this whole idea of the moral economy. Bart Penders introduced this in a paper that came out recently. And I'd love to discuss that idea of there being reform elites that who, I mentioned this the other day to you, reform elites who have these levels of etiquette, of scientific etiquette that relate to reform practices and how people have to continually reach higher and higher to reach these thresholds. And that kind of determines who's peripheral in the community. It makes people peripheral if you choose to not follow those practices or if you can't keep up. Who's peripheral then? And can that be changed? Because I think there's an extent to which hierarchy is almost a homeostasis. It's almost like science kind of keeps promoting or encouraging this hierarchy because that's just the state it's comfortable at, almost as if there's a water level that needs to just be maintained. And that's something I'd love to talk about with listeners. And also another sort of thing I'd really like to talk about with some listeners is the idea that some people genuinely see science as being value-free. That's something that really interests me. And I think the people who have the privilege to see science as value-free, how they perceive certain power problems in science and how they see that problem or that systemic issue within that structure. That's also something that relates to this issue that I'd really like to explore, but I don't know if that's too nebulous. Or
we'll definitely have a challenge to tread all these different topics and still keep it digestible, because it's very easy to go super scholarly on this.
Super deep, yeah.
And so I think that this is also a great point to start wrapping it up, to say thank you for listening. We got our new co-host, Saran, and this is only the first episode of a whole season, which we said before we started recording, the season is undefined. So who knows how long we go, how far we go, and how far you go along with us. That's up to you. But be sure to subscribe on your podcast provider of choice. I think by now people also always say, please leave a rating on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, because that helps people discover.
Yes.
So if that's something you do, we won't stop you. But otherwise, we're planning on releasing a podcast, a brief podcast, every other week. So keep an eye out for it and let us know if you have any ideas. And Any final words for this episode?
No, nothing. Nothing to add from here. I'm just excited to hear how the conversation's going to unfold and would love to hear some of your perspectives on the issues we've already touched on.
We'll talk to you soon.